Of music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
You're listening to the new Spirit FM, Christian hit music.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from Spirit Issues.info.
We'll be
good evening to all listeners. We thank God for another Saturday. This is Eben. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. It's always a privilege to come your way. And we'll be talking about the news. For those who follow the news, you know the tension is rising. Israel, Iran, war is just, they're expecting it. I mean, I've not seen a war type of expectation like we are seeing, because all the signals are pointing that Iran is coming. But as to when and how is something else. But, well, we talk about that one and a few other news. But this evening I'll be starting a series, a very important series, I think. And it's very important because the times we are in and what some of the things we are seeing, as I started last week talking about the deception. We'll be going into deception, and I believe it will take us some weeks to really address some of these things. The reason why it's very important is that of all the things that Jesus talked about in the end times, he placed a certain level of emphasis on deception. So we'll be going into these, and I believe this evening we'll start off from there, and we'll be continuing in the subsequent weeks. So thank you for tuning in, and I believe you are going to be blessed this evening as we connect and get on with Issues of Life. It's always a privilege to come your way. All right, so let's first get into the news, and I'm first starting with AI, artificial intelligence. You know, this week I was looking at some of the things, and I realized it's time we bring up this discussion at another level. Parents have to understand these things well, because the way AI is moving, the courses people even do now in the universities, the courses they are learning, the students, the children, what they want to do in the future and all that, some may have to review it, because you now have to look ahead. The systems come in and know that there are some things that if you go and study virtually, you are going to waste your time. But that's not the essence of this evening's discussion, though. So, okay, let's get into this news. Elon Musk predicts superhuman AI smarter than humans is coming in 2025. And that's just next year. So superhuman artificial intelligence that is smarter than anyone on Earth could exist next year, Elon Musk has said, unless the sector's power and computing demands become unsustainable before then. The prediction is a sharp lightning of an earlier claim from the multi-billionaire that super intelligent AI would exist by 2029, whereas superhuman is generally defined as being more intelligent than any individual human at any specific task. Super intelligent is often defined instead as being more intelligent than every human every human's combined ability at any task. Quote, I guess that we will have AI that is smarter than anyone human probably around the end of next year, unquote, Musk said in a live-streamed interview on his social media network, X. Last year, it was chip-constrained, he said. People could not get enough NVIDIA chips. This year is transitioning into voltage transformer supply. In a year or two, it's just electricity supply. In 2023, when he predicted a 5 to 6 year run away, runway for superintelligence, Musk was vocally concerned about the ramifications. That year, he spoke alongside the launch of his AI startup, XAI. If I could press pause on AI, or really advanced AI digital superintelligence, I would. It doesn't mean like that's realistic. So XAI is essentially going to build an AI in a good way, sort of, hopefully. In a good way, sort of, hopefully. Okay. But you know, when as I said, when you look at some of the things unfolding in the name of AI, it raises issues. Oh yeah, it really, really raises a lot of issues, and it's concerning indeed. We should be concerned. All right, I think I saw one news item today. That one is, let me add that one. Japanese companies warn that social order could collapse in AI era. So Japan's largest telecommunications company and the country's biggest newspaper called for speedy legislation to restrain generative artificial intelligence, saying democracy and social order could collapse if AI is left unchecked. I agree. Nippon Telegraph and Telephone, or NTT, and Yomiuri Shimbun Group Holdings proposed in an AI manifesto to be released on Monday, and then combined with a law passed in March by the EU Parliament restricting some uses of AI. The manifesto points to rising concern among American allies about the AI programs US-based companies have been at the forefront of development, whilst pointing to the potential benefits of generative AI in improving productivity. The Japanese company's manifesto took a generally skeptical view of the technology. Without specifics, it said AI tools have already begun to damage human dignity because they are sometimes designed to seize users' attention without regard to morals or accuracy. Unless AI is restrained, in the worst-case scenario, democracy and social order could collapse, resulting in wars, the manifesto said. it's worrying, as I said. And when you have countries starting to raise issues, EU has passed their initial regulations. US is here to do so. And EU has taken the lead. As for Africa, then we are not part of the race because we are just waiting to see what the others will do, and then we copy, and then we also have our own. But the bottom line is, it's a race which the world is going to have a major impact from. This week, I read one report, one of the top bank executives in the US, I've forgotten the name, which bank, he said something which is quite insightful. He said, just as electricity turned the world around into development, and internet also changed the world in a modern era, so would AI be in the times ahead. And that's exactly the truth, because you know, internet has changed. I mean, the world as we know it, coming from the last few decades, and just as electricity did transforming the world, that's how AI is going to be. So, you know, earlier I was saying that the courses people do and all this stuff, we should begin to think along that line and know that the world has changed and is going to change. But the process is very fast. And this is where, if you don't get it right, I mean, by the time you wake up from your sleep, it's like the world you knew is no longer the world that you are in. So I believe these are some of the things parents should be guided about. Mm-hmm. Okay, then we get into some other news. And FBI arrests 18-year-old from Idaho for plotting violent attacks on churches on behalf of ISIS. You remember last week I read one news that they were calling on individuals, lone wolves as they call it, to attack Christians and Jews. And this boy decided to act, or 18-year-old man, whatever. So the FBI has arrested an 18-year-old in Idaho after uncovering his truly horrific and violent plot to attack churches in Coeur d'Alene this past weekend on behalf of ISIS, the Justice Department says. Alexander Mercurio is now facing a federal charge of attempting to provide material support or resources to a designed foreign terrorist organization after the FBI says he devised a plan to incapacitate his father, restrain him using handcuffs, and steal his weapons, firearms, to use for maximum casualties in an attack he had been planning to carry out in the northern Idaho resort city on Sunday, April 7th. Thank God that he was apprehended before he was able to do anything bad. Okay, so now we get into the season of wars and rumors of wars. We have IDF fighter jets strike 30 terror targets, and Hamas rocket launches and infrastructure in Gaza Strip. And the big one is, you know, last week I talked about the attack Israel did on Syria, the consulate of Iran in Syria that killed two generals and then five other military officers of Iran. And this, Iran vowed to retaliate. But because we're doing the Ramadan fasting, it was known and feared that after the fasting, that's when this whole thing, the retaliation will take place. So after Thursday, it's now open season, fearing anything can happen. But U.S. has warned Iran, Israel, and said that they believe within 48 hours, they said this on Friday, within 48 hours, Iran could attack. But so far, nothing has happened. But intelligence and their satellite imagery show that there's a lot of movement of missiles within the country and show of activity. So they are very, very alert. So Joe Biden has warned Iran that he shouldn't think of doing it. But so far, so there's a lot of behind the scenes, countries are calling on Iran not to retaliate. Countries are, because once the missiles start coming, the Middle East becomes a major, major, major fireball. And this whole peaceful world, it's not too peaceful anyway, but it can, the potential for this to become a third world war is also a possibility. Because, so let me just start reading this one. It says, Iranian forces take over Israel-linked Portuguese ship. So this was this afternoon. And this event comes amid threats of an Iranian attack against Israel, as Israel has been on a high state of alert since late Thursday night. Iranian forces took over the Portuguese ship MCS Aris in the Strait of Hormuz on Saturday, according to Israeli media. The ship is currently sailing through the Persian Gulf, according to the ship tracking site, Marine Traffic. The ship was headed towards India. So Iran state-run media stated that its Revolutionary Guards had seized the ship, saying it was linked to Israel and it was being transferred to Iran's territorial waters. So just like that, I mean, the commercial ship seized because it belongs to Israel or is linked to Israel ownership in terms of the ownership of the ship. So, you know, this is where this whole provocations, you know, begins to escalate. And then We have U.S. seizes Iranian weapons bound for Houthi rebels in Yemen. Then this one is Russia's FSB, or their intelligence, says that British special forces are operating in Ukraine. And this is serious because Russia has warned that should any of the NATO nations start operating within Ukraine, it will escalate the whole thing into something else. And they are saying they have evidence to show that British forces are operating in Ukraine. You know, it seems this world, some people just don't want peace to be part of us. I mean, they just want war. I mean, it's like you ask yourself, sometimes these world leaders, and because you know sending your troops there can become a big issue, and what they are doing it. So they don't want peace, they want trouble. And it seems this world is just moving on in these areas where trouble seems to be lurking in the corners. You just have to keep praying that, well, we are delivered from any such dangerous situations wherever we are. And U.S. repositions warships in expectation of Iranian attack. So U.S. warships have been repositioned, and this is where the danger comes in, because when they attack Israel, would U.S. retaliate depending on the situation? And once U.S. gets involved, it's something else. You know, I mean, when you have U.S. Iran, then you know that the issue has changed. So the tension is really high in the Red Sea area, the Middle East. The U.S. is strongly concerned that an Iranian strike on Israel would lead to a regional war, which would in turn lead to a worsening of the overall situation in the Middle East. And, you know, when the Middle East goes in flames like this, the number one thing that is affected is fuel. And that one, you and I will bear the brunt here in our little Ghana. It doesn't matter, we are far away from Middle East, but the global prices push us. So some of these things changes the whole situation of world economy. And you know, already our economy now, we've always been blaming COVID and Ukraine, then we are going to have a new excuse to have All right, let's look at this one. United Methodist General Conference to have queer clergy at an event. So the United Methodist Church, the U.S. their legislative meeting will have an unofficial caucus of LGBT identified clergy advocating for changes in the denomination's stance on homosexuality, known as the United Methodist Queer Clergy Caucus. The group will present at the UMC General Conference, scheduled to take place April 23rd to May 3rd at the Charlotte Convention Center in Charlotte, North Carolina. On its website, the caucus identifies its members as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and intersex people who are ordained clergy in the United Methodist Church. Serious. So, you know, sometimes when you look at situations like this and you ask yourself, so how do you really draw the line? Openly, you say, I am this, and I am a minister of God, a supposed minister of God. So you ask yourself, what Bibles do they read? And is it that intentionally they think, you know, I've listened to one of those pastors, supposed pastors, who claim to be LGBT and all that, and it's sad because it's like they are in a different realm altogether. It's as if the Bible that we read, they seem to see it from a different angle, and it's very unfortunate. Very, very unfortunate. Okay, so let's finish with this item, this last one, that says that the countdown has begun to bring about a global digital ID and digital currency. So dozens of national governments are joining with the United Nations and billionaire population control fanatic Bill Gates on a global program to impose digital public infrastructure, DPI, on their citizens within 5 years. The DPI includes central bank digital currencies, CBDCs, last year I spoke about it, digital identification, comprehensive data systems, and more, all functional across national borders. The new scheme, unveiled late last year, and moving ahead rapidly, is known as 50 in 5, because 50 governments expect to have the Orwellian digital infrastructure of tyranny in place within 5 years. Almost a dozen governments, including numerous corrupt kleptocracies and socialist regimes, have volunteered their populations to serve as first mover countries too. I mean, so far. So it goes on to say that, however, the UN's assumption is that every government will eventually impose this on every person on earth. This is clearly expressed throughout its announcements. All countries, regardless of income level, geography, or where they are in their digital transformation journey, can benefit from being a part of the 50 in 5, unquote, the UN agency behind the scheme declared. Joining the campaign helps ensure countries don't have to tackle DPI implementation alone or start from scratch. Led by the UN Development Programme, UNDP, the new digital infrastructure is being framed as a tool to accelerate the imposition of highly controversial UN's 2030 Agenda Sustainable Development Goals, referred to in 2015 by key UN leaders as the Master Plan for Humanity. As they are known, the SDGs call for global wealth redistribution and drastically more government power over people's lives at all levels. China has boasted of playing a crucial role in developing the plan. Gates celebrated the role of these technologies in imposing the UN SDGs on humanity. The G20 reached a groundbreaking consensus on the role of digital public infrastructure as critical accelerator of the Sustainable Development Goals, he said on X. I'm optimistic about the potential of DPIs to support a safer, healthier, and more just world. The whole program is being guided by the United Nations and the elitists, including Bill Gates and others such as Rockefellers, the longtime financiers of globalism, and then the eugenics, and then the population control schemes. Multiple front groups steered by such were created for the purpose. But the US and European taxpayers are being conscripted to foot much of the bill via the UN agencies and international development banks. If not stopped, critics say the new suite of digital public goods and infrastructure will create a technological system allowing for total surveillance and control of all people everywhere. And then indeed, as the 2030 agenda makes clear, no one will be left behind. Once in full swing, literally every transaction will be tracked, monitored, and controlled. Okay, I spoke about this during the CBDCs last year when I was talking about central bank digital currency. It's all about human control, no privacy for anything. Government monitors everything you do, and that's the only way to do so, through digitization. So when the countries move into cashless systems, that means now you can't hide any transaction. Even if you buy something one city, the system can track, and you can be flagged. Your system can be, your profile can be blocked by the system. Somebody can just block you depending on you not meeting some criteria. In such a case, you cannot buy, you cannot do anything, you cannot transact, you are just off, cut off the system if you don't meet some goals and all that. It's quite, some of these things look a bit far-fetched, but it's possible. It's possible. The way technology is going, it's very, very possible. You know, even just look at our system. I mean, just recently, we also, if you don't have Ghana card, you cannot register your SIM card. If, that means you cannot use a phone. If you insist you will not register, that means you cannot use it. So some of these things, we are just seeing it in glimpses of it around us. It's very, very possible. But well, time will tell as we go on. You know, the world system itself, but it's interesting. We are, this generation is seeing things, and we are going to see more. I believe, you know, the things we are seeing, these are not meant to scare you. These are not things that should get you, you know, confused or worried about something. It just confirms the word of God is true, and I believe that's the key thing. So let's play this song, and I will be back to continue from there. One of the beautiful songs by Tula Parry.
No!
beautiful song by Twala Parry. Okay, God is in control. I just love the song. The lyrics are so real and practical in our times. This is no time for fear. This is a time for faith and determination. Don't lose the vision here, carried away by the motion. Hold on to all that you hide in your heart. There is one thing that has always been true. It holds the world together. God is in control. We believe that his children will not be forsaken. God is in control. We will choose to remember and never be shaken. There is no power above or beside him. We know God is in control. History marches on. There is a bottom line drawn across the ages. Culture can make its plan. Oh, but the line never changes. No matter how the deception may fly. I love that one. There is one thing that has always been true. It will be true forever. He has never let you down. Why start to worry now? He is still the Lord of all we see. And he is still the loving Father, watching over you and me. Wow. Okay. There's one word in this. No matter how the deception may fly. No matter how the deception may fly. This evening I'm talking about the deception. As I said, I'm starting this series. And it's very important. Indeed, very, very important. When we get into Matthew 24, the disciples ask Jesus, tell us about the sign of your coming, the time of your coming, and all that. 24:4, it says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed. I mean, that's the first intro of the discussion. I mean, before he answers, it's part of the answer, but the first intro, they didn't ask about would there be deception or not. They asked him, tell us about the end. And this was his first statement. That should then give us a certain perception about it, that it must be very, very key and very important. And it doesn't end there. He goes on in 24:11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Take note of the word many. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Many, by any definition you put it, more, plenty, majority, whatever, many is something that should be a very serious caution, because that means majority. And if you are going to have many false prophets arising and many being deceived, then it tells you that you and I should really take this issue of deception extremely serious, because that is one major cardinal thing about the end time that Jesus talked about. And then he goes on again, 24:24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Wow. I mean, it's very serious. If you really reflect on these verses that Jesus talked about, 24:4, 24:11, 24:24, it's really serious. For those on my morning broadcast list, I've been addressing this issue of deception. We went through it for a number of weeks, 2 weeks, I believe. And this evening I'm talking about it here, starting this series, because, you know, when I was in Accra last 2 weeks, two, 3 weeks, and I just see some of the things that is happening, some of the things some pastors are saying, and, you know, if they will say it in their rooms alone, nobody listening to them, I don't care. But when they are saying it in the large congregations, and then you have people listening, the numbers, and you look at the comments on, you know, the YouTube, you know, whatever, you see the comments and you realize there's something wrong. It's very sad, you know. I mean, really, really, really sad. So it's important we address this issue, and then we prepare ourselves, we become We try as much as... You see, everybody can be deceived. That's the serious part of deception. Because deception is at various levels. I mean, so we will just look at it. But then, as much as possible, it's important we look at it and see how best we can become deception-proof or whatever, deception-resistant. We develop a certain resistance to it. Because we just cannot be careless, because as soon as we become careless, we become victims of it. And that's how serious it is. Last year, I don't know whether I said it last week, but I remember talking, I was discussing this with my sister, and she reminded me of one proverb. I think I said it last week, but for the sake of maybe someone who didn't listen to it, last edition's program, where he said, you know, the Lord revealed to this man that hitherto the level of deception we've been having, I mean, more of lower level demons in charge. But effective this year onwards, the main principality in charge of deception himself is taking over. The power and the real principality in charge of deception. So effective this year onwards, we are going to be exposed to higher levels of deception. So when I started hearing some of the abnormal things that you hear, and it's like, where is this coming from? Then I remembered, oh, okay, indeed. Then the professors have come. Either to we're having KG teachers, lower level educators deceiving. But now we are going to have senior lecturers who really have the skill and empowered to deceive. So when the Bible says, Jesus says that many will be deceived, I'm beginning to understand it better. Because when I look at some of the things being said and how people are responding and not seeing that they are being deceived, then it's like, whatever is coming, we better prepare ourselves well to be ready, because the deception is serious. I mean, how can someone tell you that Abraham is not the father of Isaac, and you sit down and say, wow? I mean, come on. I mean, but these are the realities. This is what is happening. I mean, people were saying, wow, a revelation has dropped from heaven. I mean, they are just shocked. They are in awe. It's like, whoa, a revelation. This shows how serious, because this is a basic level Sunday school baby childhood Sunday school lesson that you shouldn't be deceived about. But yet you have adults who, I'm sure some will tell you they've been Christians for 20 years or whatever years, and yet their pastor says this and they say, wow. You see, so you see how serious the deception we are seeing is and what is ahead. You can imagine how serious it's going to be ahead. But you see, in all this, the fundamental problem is people do not have the word in them. Christians are shallow, very, very shallow. And that's where I'm starting from. The shallowness of modern day believers is worrying. Pastors have a lot of work to do. I mean, a lot of work to do. Of course, I mean, there's a limit to how far you help people and what you do, but clearly something is wrong in the body of Christ. And pastors have to confront it. I believe a lot of pastors listen to this program, church leaders and all that. Something should be looked at, because something is happening that should concern us. I met a lady some time back. I mean, this is over 12 years or so ago. But I will never forget this issue, because, you know, I was playing children's Bible story in the car then when I picked her. And the story was these twins, Jacob and Esau. And to my shock and surprise, this lady who says she's born again, is in a Pentecostal church, I mean, in a good church and all that, ask, oh, so were they twins? Jacob and Esau, were they twins? And it's like, you know, you hear some things, your question, the question, and it's like, did I hear her right? Am I dreaming? Because you see, there are things which you don't expect someone who has been a Christian for some time. This is not a baby Christian. From conversations, she's been a Christian for years. So if you can ask a question such as Esau and Jacob, were they twins? It tells you that there's something fundamentally wrong about the person's knowledge of basic Bible stories in the first place. You see, so when this man said that Abraham is not the father of Isaac, and people were saying, wow, I could connect with that lady's statement that Esau and Jacob were they twins. You see, so that means something as basic as you think that, oh, the story of Isaac, Esau, Jacob, I mean, these are fundamentals of Bible stories. But people don't even know these ones. These basic ones, so people, adults, Christians who have been in church for years, are struggling to even know about these ones. This is so, how much more? These are just milk stuff, milk issues, milk stuff. So how much more weightier matters, big meat, bones, like you are talking of deep things, like you come to the New Testament, warfare, spiritual warfare, Ephesians 6, and, you know, serious stuff, faith and all this. How can they then even accept those ones? You see, so you realize that in the absence of knowledge, throw anything at the people and they'll believe it. I mean, just say anything, they'll believe it. And that is the issue with the shallowness that we are having in the body of Christ now. I've cited this example before. Like a language, you see, if you don't know something and somebody says something in that language, I mean, you just stare at the person because you don't know, so you can't even question or doubt. That's what is happening. You see, because the people don't know anything about the word of God, the pastors and the leaders, the prophets and whatever, are saying anything, and the people are accepting the anything, and they are happy about it. So the deception is thriving. Because assuming when you say Abraham is not the father of Isaac, and the people people start making grumbling questions, noises, and like, they know that, no, Charlie, the people are not accepting what I said. Let me rephrase or let me redraw. But you say it and people are saying, wow, oh, Charlie, it's sinking, it's working. Let me repeat. So more deception will flow. And that is what is happening. So the devil is taking advantage of the ignorance of the masses. Many believers are not reading their Bible, let alone study, let alone meditate, let alone, you know, really know it, have it in their hearts. So in the absence of all these things, what happens? Deception. So as deception is warming up, serious deception is being prepared for the world, for us listeners of this program, the least we can do is to lace our boots and get ready to be Bible students on our own. Bible students, I don't mean enrolling in a Bible school, but you decide to be a Bible student yourself, to study the word yourself, to know the word yourself. Because we are going to hear strange things. For that one, I'm telling you, we are going to hear strange and super strange things. I heard one today. Oh no, God help your children. That Adam is not the first person, the first man God created. How can you say this? The Bible has explicitly stated Adam, the first man. And the pastor says Adam is not the first man created. And people are making noises. Whoa. People are like, revelation has dropped. You look at the comments and people are like amazed. What is deep about this? What is deep about this? You tell me Adam is not the first man God created. It's simple. Name the first man you said you think God created. Name. Give us the name. But you see, they just say it freely like that, and that's the people don't question it, and it's like the masses are happy. Hey, a revelation has dropped. You see, this is what is happening. The shallowness. You see, people are seeking all sorts of revelations and as if, you know, they are dropping the wildest revelation no one has heard before. And it's like, wow. So it's like, I don't know whether it's intentionally you have to look for something to come and share that makes it look like you are the wildest prophet, you are the wildest teacher, you are the... I mean, who are you impressing? You see, so we should be careful and know that we've entered the season of deception. I mean, that one is clear now. We've entered the season of deception. Jesus spoke explicitly about it, as I've read the three verses in Matthew 24. I mean, for your assignment, take time, prayerfully read the entire chapter, Matthew 24, and then you realize that this deception that Jesus warned about, it is before he comes. I mean, so that means we are going to see it in the end times. And after all, if the church will be gone before the deception will come, who are you coming to deceive? The church is gone. So who is left? I mean, who are you coming to deceive? So the church will be here. It's the church that the devil will seek to deceive, to try and cause them to miss the coming of the Lord or whatever, deceive them and cause them to leave their faith. You see, so in as much as we caution ourselves about deception, we should not just take it as a light matter, but we should prioritize it as a serious issue now, because the times we are in now deserves a lot of attention on the Word of God. Emphasis should be on the Word of God. On the Word of God. And that's why I'm challenging and encouraging church leaders, pastors, deacons, elders, I mean, Sunday school teachers, whichever group leaders, fellowship, whatever, the Word of God should be prioritized. Seriously prioritized. Because you see, knowledge of the Word of God is going to be our foundation in these times we are entering. And the absence of it is going to be our doom. Because in the absence of the Word of God, then anything flies. Anything flies. You tell people Adam is not the first man created, and people are not questioning it, and those who question it too, is like as if people are attacking you for, oh no, you know what is a deep revelation about you telling me Adam is not the first man, and then so you tell me and I should just accept it? Well, the Bible says exactly so, Adam is the first man. And the pastor was saying, God in the Old Testament, God never appeared to any man. And the Genesis 18, where the three people came to Abraham, where Abraham fed them and all that, it wasn't God. God was not part. And it's like, how do people even read the Bible? That thing, you read the Bible, he fed them, he negotiated with them, with him on the number of souls, if found in Sodom, he will not destroy the place and all that. The thing is clear, and yet someone says it's not God. I mean, is it so? Is it they say these things freely, and their followers are following freely. And it's sad, you realize that people who are following them freely are not interested in knowing the truth. One, they don't have the truth in them, and they are not interested in knowing the truth either. So like they are just following blindly, the blind leading the blind. But I pray and wish that we would not be part of this deception squad that many are going to fall prey to. And you see, it's very sad. When the 24:11 to me is one of the saddest verses in the New Testament or in the Bible. Let me read it again. Matthew 24:11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. The fact that many people will be deceived alone means this thing is a very serious issue that we should not gloss over at all. Because if many will be deceived, then it means few will know the truth. Few will know the truth. And it's even interesting, so goes further, 24:24, and those few, he says, if it were possible, the very elect, those few, will be deceived. So it should give us an idea of the season of the end times, how it's really going to be like. Deception will be the standard hallmark. I mean, deception will be the commonplace thing. Truth will be so scarce that if you don't have the word in you, you don't have the word of God in your heart, you are not spending time in the word every day, it's not part of you, forget it. You will be a victim of the deception. And the safest way is to decide that you want to be a Bible student yourself. Know God for yourself. Know God for yourself. Because you see, one listener sent me a message this week, a very sad one. Says she moved to a new area, and for, is it 4 months or so now, she's not been able to find any good church around. You see, we are getting to the point where some people will eventually have to do home church. Oh yes, because you imagine you are in an area where it's falsehood all around you. Every church you go is false. I mean, the message is false, like deception all around you. The only option is to stay home and do your own church. Oh yes, because you see, if many, there will be many deceivers. That means a time will come where you have few good churches that you can really entrust your life to. Oh yes. So that's the season we are entering. So we should not be discouraged if we are seeing these things more and more. Rather, we should be encouraged that the word of God is true. And we should then encourage ourselves that we are not going to be victims of the deception. Because for the deception, nobody will stop it. Nobody can stop it. No prayer can stop it. Those who allow themselves to be deceived, they allowed it. You see, a prophecy has been given by Jesus. It will happen. But those who allow themselves to be victims, it's by choice that you'll be part of it. Not that you'll be forced. Nobody will be forced to be deceived. But it will be a matter of choice. So anyone who becomes a victim is the choices that they made. So you see, when you hear somebody say, wow, to Abraham is not the father of Isaac, that person chose to be deceived. Because nobody forced you to believe what the pastor said, but you have decided to believe because you decided not to know the word for yourself. So a basic story such as Abraham being the father of Isaac, if you don't know and you are told that he is not the father and you believe it, it's not God's fault. It's not, you can't blame anyone for not knowing. It's your own fault. You see, so people will be deceived by choice, by choosing not to study the word, by choosing not to have the word in them, by choosing not to be lovers of the word of God, they will be deceived. They will become victims. Is it so? It's possible to avoid being a victim. And this morning, sorry, I said this morning, this evening, that's the encouragement we are starting off with. Let's decide. You should have a renewed mind towards the word of God that we are not going to be victims of this deception that is coming. It has started in a certain way, but we are going to hear more. It's going to increase to levels which we can't even imagine. Yes, because if Jesus says many prophets will come, that means we've not seen them cry. It's very few. They are now warming up. The real deceivers are ahead. They are coming. They are warming up. And we'll be going through this series with some things we should look out for and how. Some things that the Holy Spirit guided me that I was sharing in the morning devotion, like the devotion, the broadcast list. We'll be adding, talking about some of these things and all that. I think I shared about 12 keys, and we'll be going into through all the 12 keys and a bit more. You see, we should be on the lookout, knowing the times and all that. So we'll be getting into these details as that we go on in this series. I believe this is perhaps the most important series I'll be doing, because it has a direct bearing on our Christianity. I mean, because it's serious. The deception is serious. I mean, you hear all sorts of things and you wonder and people are still going to church the next day in that church. I mean, come on. If you know the word and you know the truth, the next, you should just, that's the end. You just walk out and that's it. You don't go again. But they are gladly going and they are gladly defending. You look at online, the comments, they are defending. I say, hey, people are deceived. You know, something which is so obvious. Another one, like, for instance, you know, Ephesians talks of spiritual warfare, the powers, the principalities, and all that. There's no spirit Christian, on the Christian side, there's no title. Principality is not any Christian title. And you hear a pastor, I mean, calling himself, I'm a principality. And come on, the people are saying, yeah, I mean, are happy about it. It's like, the person says he's a principality. Even the person's behavior cry is questionable. And this one is not even hiding it. He's telling you, I'm a principality. So a principality in whose kingdom? Because in God's kingdom, we don't have any principality as a title. You see, if you know the word, as soon as you hear some things, it should, question mark should immediately arise in your mind. Because how can you say you're a principality? I mean, but you see, when you hear these things and how people react to it, they know that there's something wrong. It doesn't even click that there's something wrong. Because they don't even know. You see, you can know there's something wrong when you have a reference point. So you have the word in you that as soon as you hear this, you can connect it to a word in the word of God that something is amiss. But if you have nothing in you, when you hear it, it means nothing. I mean, it's just, a word of a powerful revelation has come. So you just accept it. You don't question it because you don't know. You see, this is how serious it is. If you don't have the word in you, you believe anything. Anything that is thrown at you, you believe it. Because if you are deceived, you can know you are deceived if you know the truth. But if you don't know the truth, how do you know you are deceived? That's the serious part of it. You see, so that's why we should encourage ourselves to get deeper into the word of God now onwards, because it's not a matter of if we feel like, no, now we have to, and that's serious. Someone just sent me breaking news. Iranian media claims that drones have been launched from Yemen towards Israel. And then Jordan announces it will shoot down any drones entering its airspace. This Middle Eastern is something else. Okay. All right. And then we have, Emmanuel says, Bible, people find it difficult to mention the books of the Old and New Testaments. Bible, come on, be a book. All right. So that's how far we've come this evening. So soon, it's 9 p.m. almost 9, and I have just a few minutes, 2 minutes or so to go. I think there are messages. I'll attend to it later. Okay. Greetings to Jones. We have Ebenezer. Greetings to you, Bright. Greetings and all the listeners. Greetings to you. Thanks for listening. You know, so yes, the promise is on. Let's promise ourselves to be Bible students, be serious with reading the Bible now onwards, because the way the deception is going on and is going to go on and is going to worsen and worsen and worsen, our only hope of survival as Christians in the faith is the word of God. And I believe if we do that, and as we do that, we would be able to stand. The storms will come, the deception will come, but we will be able to stand. Good night, and God bless you.
You're listening to the New Spirit FM. Christian.